Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Chess Moves edition of the Game Changers podcast. My name is Quinn Sessions, and it's a privilege and pleasure to be here with you as usual. You know, it starts to seem like we're only really putting out Chess Moves editions or Chess Moves content. That is because I have some technical issues that I'm dealing with in the background, but I promise that we will have our typical interviews coming back very soon. In the meantime, enjoy this Chess Move content, and also enjoy what I have branded MSME Mondays. We have started short videos that we put out every Monday highlighting entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs are still getting highlighted on the Game Changers podcast, just in a different way for now. But I promise you that we'll get our traditional Game Changers podcast interviews very, very soon. Anyhow, let's get straight into business. You know, we don't like wasting time here. Today, we will tackle three interesting topics. The first of which is Alexei Navalny's death. Secondly, we'll tackle OpenAI Sora changes the game. And our final story will be, are there poor people in St. Lucia? Very, very interesting stories. Well, let's get straight into it. First story, Alexei Navalny's death. Now, many of you might have known, and many of you who listen to the news might have heard the name Alexei Navalny. Alexei Navalny was a prominent critic of the Russian government, and he died in prison on February 16th. Now, the details surrounding Alexei's death are scarce, prompting his team, you know, to offer a reward for information or assistance in this regard. Now, Navalny had a history of, like I said, criticizing the Russian government. And he was poisoned prior to this, in 2020, by a nerve agent by Russian Secret Service operatives. In fact, that was confirmed that that was what poisoned him. And he had recovered from that, but he had never become silent. He was still an opponent of Putin. He was still an opponent of the ongoing regime. He still called them out. He was still anti-government, right? That, therefore, created mystery around his death because many people are wondering, hey, did he get poisoned again? Did Putin finally get to him? Did he actually die this time of, you know, these type of causes? And we see that, you know, he might have ultimately paid the ultimate price for speaking. In fact, I have an interesting news story that will tell you a little bit more about this entire situation.
47-year-old Alexei Navalny was looking healthy, joking with a judge via video link from his Arctic prison just yesterday. Navalny's mother saw him Monday and said he was in good spirits. Yet somehow Alexei Navalny, Russian President Vladimir Putin's fiercest and most energetic critic, dropped dead suddenly at a penal colony in Siberia. Prison officials say Navalny went for a walk but felt unwell and quickly lost consciousness. They said medics could not revive him. President Biden blamed President Putin.
Make no mistake, Putin is responsible for Navalny's death.
Moscow supporters laid flowers to honor Navalny, despite a warning from the state prosecutor that protests would not be allowed. When a woman tried to unfurl a sign, she was taken away by authorities. Navalny started out as an anti-corruption blogger, exposing on his YouTube show the lavish lifestyles enjoyed by Putin and his inner circle. Navalny was a central figure in massive protests against Putin in 2012. He was jailed and harassed and attacked with a green dye that damaged his right eye. In 2020, while on a flight in Moscow, Navalny suddenly fell ill. He was poisoned by a nerve agent and flown to Germany to recover. He blamed Putin for the assassination attempt. The Kremlin denied responsibility. And then came the most consequential decision of his life. Navalny returned to Russia after recovering from his poisoning. He deliberately put his life on the line and his principles first until his death today, which is not confirmed by his family, but who don't seem to doubt it.
So we see that, you know, like I said, like I brought out in the intro, this reeks of maybe, you know, somebody silencing somebody else. Like I said often, like I often see on this edition of the Game Changers podcast, this is not a political show, or we don't really talk politics here. However, we will focus on a lesson that we could possibly learn from this story. And the chess move that I can derive from this particular story is that social agitation is a risky business. You know, Navalny's situation underscores the risks faced by individuals who openly criticize authority. Now, while we might not know if he was killed in this situation, we do know that, you know, his Russian opponents did not really like what he was saying. And this really points that it can be risky, it can be dangerous when you oppose authority, when you speak truth to power. Now, does that mean that we would stop speaking truth to power? Does that mean that we would cower away? I don't think so. But the reality is that when you do take a strong stance against authority, chances are you could play the ultimate price for it. I mean, if you look out throughout history, look at Martin Luther King Jr., look at Malcolm X, even look at Jesus for an example. All of these men paid the ultimate price for standing up for what they believed in. Being a social agitator can be risky business, but we should probably do it anyway. Now, it's easy to say, it's easier said than done, obviously, because we're literally talking about life and death in this situation. However, I see that, you know, if you really want to stand up for something that you believe in, it is important, but it can be risky. All right, so that is the chess move I derived from story number one. Let's move on to OpenAI Sora changes the game. Now, many of you, again, in the media space might have heard of OpenAI Sora. And those of you who haven't heard of OpenAI Sora, let me just tell you a little bit about it. OpenAI Sora is an AI model capable of turning text prompts into minute-long videos, with demo videos showcasing its abilities. So there are several videos out. In fact, I'll be showing some of them on the screen right now, because you can see them on the screen right now. Those of you who are viewing on YouTube can see that, you know, all of this that you are seeing on the screen was prompted solely by text. Now, the model, named Sora, means sky in Japanese, and it's intended to represent limitless creative potential. Now, Sora has been described as a potential world simulator that could eventually create highly capable simulations of the physical and digital world. Now, despite these impressive capabilities, Sora has its limitations, including inaccuracies in some of the basic modeling, also has tendencies to sometimes hallucinate and, you know, put out wrong data, wrong analysis of the text that you input. Some AI experts express doubts about its capabilities to eventually fully or properly represent the actual laws of physics. However, like ChatGPT and other AI tools, it has the ability to improve over time through machine learning. Now, OpenAI has not disclosed how much data is being used currently to train Sora, so it kind of makes it a little bit difficult to estimate how far this tool can go or how far it is already going. Now, some people claim that Sora could be the death of videography, because, I mean, when people utilize this tool, it displays high-quality HD images, and people don't actually have to go out in the world and, you know, spend that tedious time filming. Some people are saying that it could be the death of videography. That's their take on this situation. Now, based on my understanding of the entire thing, based on my research, I have come up with a chess move of my own. And that is, new things tend to have growing pains, right? And it's important to be patient. In fact, that's the first chess move, first of two chess moves that I got from it, will have growing pains. It will not be perfect when it just starts. Game Changers has not been perfect. You know, if you were following from day one and you follow to where we are now, we've had our growing pains. We are still having our growing pains. Nothing new happens right away. Technology, that's also true for technology. I mean, if you look at Facebook, if you look at all the social media platforms, they had their difficulties in the beginning, and now they are having more growing pains as, you know, new issues develop. So now they have to solve these issues over time. Anything new will have growing pains, right? So it's important to be patient. That's my first chess move for this story. I came up with a second one as well. And that is, adaptation is the only way we can grow. You know, for the people who are claiming that this is the death of videography, I'm saying it can be. It's very possible that it can be. But the only way that videographers or creatives in this space would die is if they don't grow with AI. You know, AI is going nowhere. It's cheaper, it's more cost effective, and it is better in general for the higher ups. It's better for those who make the decision. So it's going nowhere. The best thing we can do is learn how to adapt and utilize it in our lives. You know, Eric Hoffner said it best. He said, in times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. You know, we need to find a way to adapt. Like I said earlier on, AI will only be the death of you if you're a videographer, if you are any other type of creative, if you don't find a way to adapt. So, adaptation is vital. Okay, so that was story number two. Let's move on to our final story. A very contentious story, at least in St. Lucia. You know, Game Changers is originally based in St. Lucia. I am St. Lucian. This is a podcast mainly for Caribbean people. And our final story speaks to that regard, but I think it speaks to a broader picture as well. The final story is titled, Does St. Lucia Have Poor People? Now, recently, a popular St. Lucian entrepreneur made some statement on a local talk show. In fact, I covered this story in my day job for the news. On the talk show, he made the following statements.
St. Lucia doesn't have poor people, Tim. I hear you talking
about this. We do. No, no.
Tim, St. Lucia does not have
Poor people. We do have indigents in our society. People who are below being poor because of their circumstances in terms of generation, from generation to generation, not being able to fend for themselves, poor education, lack of skills, that contributes to poor. Poor housing contributes to poverty.
This is what it is. My view of it is much different, right? Do you know there's a major problem in getting workers in St. Lucia?
Skilled workers?
No. Just workers that even want to learn. You cannot get workers who even want to learn. You get workers who want to get paid. They don't want to learn. Why are you telling me there are poor people when there's so much opportunity in St. Lucia?
What about the incentive? What is the opportunity making reference to when, for example, somebody will be paid below minimum wage? Okay?
You start somewhere and you
have
learn.
You have to be incentivized. No. Because otherwise, because even going to a training program, that comes at a tremendous cost. But if you're traveling from, let's say, VA4 to Castries to participate in that particular exercise.
Tim, government has some programs. And even out of those programs, I don't see anything much happening because we are not driven to do better for ourselves. I find we are not driven to do better for ourselves. And I think, if you ask me, the government, the successive governments, do not drive and force people to become better for themselves. However, in China, in Russia, in India, you are almost forced to be better and do better for yourself.
So we hear that Mr. Gajada, Renu Gajada, is saying here that St. Lucia does not have poor people. And his rationale for this is that, you know, there are so many opportunities out there for these people and they're not utilizing them, basically because they're lazy or they don't have that initiative. And this has caused, obviously, a stir on social media. It has caused a stir in several segments of society. And I, when I looked at that, I mean, I could cover the story as a story for the news, but really as a journalist in that regard, you can't really opine, you can't really give your opinion on the entire situation. But this platform provides the opportunity for me to do just that. I have a couple of ideas, a couple of chess moves based on what Mr. Gajada said. The first and foremost, I want to point out that I do not agree with his notion that St. Lucia does not have poor people. Like the host Timothy Polio correctly pointed out, there are socioeconomic factors, poor housing, low income situations, family history that have placed people in poor situations, right? So I agree with that, right? So I guess that doesn't really count as a chess move, but I just want to say that firstly. But the real chess move that I derive from that, and it's something that I actually agree with Mr. Gajada with, is that it's important to grab opportunity. I do agree that we have too many people in St. Lucia and the Caribbean in general, because I lived in other countries in the Caribbean, and that's probably true about the world, other places in the world. I do believe that we have several people in the world who just sit down and complain about there not being opportunities, but don't grasp the opportunities when they do come. You know, Mr. Gajada rightfully said, many people don't even want the opportunity to learn. They want the opportunity to get paid, but they don't want the opportunity to learn. And I think that is so true. And everything about successful people that I've studied, everything about successful people that I've spent time around, even success in my own life, many times we garner that success by just spending time around people who have already gotten it and learning from them without, you know, actually getting a salary. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you should be doing that full time, but we do have an attitude in the Caribbean of not wanting to learn certain things, not wanting to learn about certain things. And then we blame the government or we blame society for not taking care of us. And I think that it's important that we spend time learning from those who have already, you know, been ahead of us. That's why I think it's important to grasp opportunities. If opportunities come your way, if there is somebody who is learned, somebody who is already successful in a field that you either need to be or want to be successful in, spend time around those persons. It's important to grab opportunity. So that's one chess move that I grabbed from him. The second chess move that I grabbed from him is that, and something else that I agree with him on, is that we tend to depend too much on the state for so many things in our lives. You know, we often hear that notion that the government is not doing X, the government is not doing X, Y, Z. And it might be true that the government isn't doing certain things, is not living up to the standards. But if we see that successive regimes, regardless of what political side you support, are not providing what you need or what you want, why not try to do things on your own, right? It will give you an independence, so you will not owe anybody else, you know, when you get that success. But find ways to collaborate with people on the ground. I mean, we as a people, as a network of people, have so much information, so much resources among ourselves. But we are so busy looking upwards with our hands open for somebody to give it to us that we do not... We are so busy looking upwards with our hands open for someone to give it to us that we don't see the power that we have within ourselves. It's important to learn to be self-sufficient. You know, governments come and go. Governments have limited periods. Governments are limited in what they can do. Find a way to be self-sufficient. Find a way to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get stuff done. Yes, hold the state accountable when they promise X, Y, and Z. But, you know, ultimately, these people are human beings and they have a limited time in office. We need to find out a way to do better for ourselves and not just depend on somebody else to give us money, to give us opportunities. If we do get opportunities, like I said earlier on, grasp them. But we need to make opportunities for ourselves because ultimately we are the ones who suffer. We are the ones who would need to find opportunities to pay ourselves, to take care of ourselves and our families. All right. So the chess move here is stay away from overdependence, right? Stay away from overdependence. We can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps if we really network and connect with each other. So that was our final chess move for this particular story and our final chess move for the entire episode. Let's review as usual. Here's what I hoped you learned in this episode. Chess move number one. Social agitation can be a risky business. In fact, social agitation is risky business. Second chess move. New things have growing pains. It's important to be patient. Chess move number three. Adaptation is the only way you can grow. Chess move number four. It's important to grab opportunities. And chess move number five. Don't be over-dependent on anyone. I hope you learned something through this episode. I hope you learned something that will enhance your life and that you will be able to achieve more based on our sit down. Leave a comment down below. Do you agree with the chess moves that I came up with? Do you disagree with the chess moves that I came up with? I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear a little bit more in the comments down below. I really appreciate your feedback. Anyhow, as usual, stay hungry and I'll see you next time. Bye.